UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Thanks for being with us here on ESPN 680 105.7. Reminder that the playoffs are here in the National Football League, and in fact, we've got them for you. Saturday, the divisional games, Vikings and 49ers and Titans and Ravens. The first game is on ESPN 680 105.7. The second game is on both 680 105.7 and 93.9 The Ville. We've got the local call of the Ravens on one, and we've got the Westwood One call on the other. Sunday, Texans and Chiefs and Seahawks and Packers, both of those on 680 105.7. The NFL on ESPN Louisville, presented by UPS Jobs, BJ Heating and Cooling, Dave and Buster's Louisville in Mall St. Matthews, and the Cryo Lounge in St. Matthews at cryoloungeky.com. If you mention ESPN, you'll get yourself a free session there. All right, we're loud and clear on the stream again. Yay. So he's loud and proud, and here he is, Eric Crawford, who I ran into at the game last night. Eric, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. I don't know how gently to tell you I had a hearty chuckle at your tweet. We don't want to turn that into a firestorm, but that was pretty funny.
I'm all about engagement, just like everybody else in the media. So it was. Sometimes, you know, you wish you just keep your mouth shut, and I rarely do. So they don't pay you. They don't pay you to keep your mouth shut in this business.
No,
so that's what happened.
They really don't. I'm alluding to the fact that he was talking about a prominent booster contacting him, thrilled with the way they played for the first 13 minutes, then absolutely outraged at the way they played the next 6 minutes. So, but that does speak to the fact that they are not still putting 40 minutes together. But you know, they won by, everybody thinks they dominated Miami down there, and they won by 13 here. They played at home, and people are like, well, they were spotty. They won by 16, so it wasn't exactly cause for panic. It's a win. It's a good win. They're 3-1 in the league, and you got to go from there. But as you said, few answers. But a win. Did you get any meaningful answers out of that?
Well, I mean, they won the way they have won most of their games against teams that are not, you know, and they've beaten good teams. I'm not saying they haven't beaten good teams, but a lot of times they could just overwhelm people with stretches of really good offense and or good shooting sometimes. Sometimes it's not even good offense, it's good shooting. But what we saw last night, the thing that intrigued me last night was after the game, Chris Mack saying that he told his players, and then he's telling himself, he says, we've got to figure out what makes us good. Why, when we're good, we're good. And that's something that, you know, a team with this number of returnees and experience, you would think would have a pretty good handle on that. But this team seems to grab it and lose it at times. And, you know, that's where they've got to, that's what they've got to figure out. To me, they're good when the ball is moving and when, you know, you got a lot of guys touching the ball, when you're looking into the post, you know, and you're getting it back out, inside out, the usual things. They can be really good offensively, and I think that's going to have to carry them sometimes when there are teams that they just can't stop on the dribble.
You're spot on so many things you said there, and I'm reading your column, which everybody else can read as well, at WDRB.com if you want to see what he has to say about it in some more depth. But a couple of points you made, which I think are interesting ones, and you started with the main one, which is what makes them good. And what makes them good, when I look at it, is They get great ball and player movement on the offensive end. They play absolutely non-negotiably good pack line defense. And, you know, they run well, to be honest with you. That's when they get most of their easy shots, when they run well. And I think that's part of the problem. You know, Virginia doesn't try to run. So when they're playing pack line, which is very methodical and very orchestrated and calculated, it lends itself well to the offense coming and doing the same thing. But here, Louisville's trying to play that methodical, positional defense. And then when they get the ball, I don't know if you could hear it on your side or where you were sitting, but obviously where we are right next to the bench, every time they got the ball, the entire bench is screaming, and go, go, go. It sounded like a track meet. They just want to sprint it down the floor. And I think that's sometimes a hard thing to balance. And I think sometimes they don't balance it especially well. But those are the things they've got to do. And, you know, there are some things that you take away from last night that they did do. Like I said to Chris, it was like the Three Bears game. You know, the first game, there was no Jordan at Kentucky. Then last, and all the other players were good. Then last game, it was all Jordan and none of the other players were good. Now, this game, Jordan was good, and he got some help from some other people. That's kind of the way they're going to have to do it. So there are some things you can take away, even though that is not a particularly deep and strong Miami team, no?
No, not at all, not by any stretch. And you know, it helps to be playing somebody that's not very good. But in you know, building off what you said, not just getting more guys than Jordan involved, but I think it's going to be one big key is Jordan getting other guys involved.
Yes,
because
I agree.
He has the ability to drive and draw and kick, and he does that sometimes. He had 3 assists last night. I think could have had 4. Had a nice pass to Sutton, and he missed a layup. But you know, if they can get 5 assists a game from him, you know, or something approximating that, that goes a long way. All of a sudden, you can't just, you know, it makes a big difference in getting other people. And I think the same thing is true of Steven Enoch, who's probably never going to be a great passer in the post. But sometimes when that ball goes in there, it's got to come back out. It's got to, you know, he's got to make a move and throw opposite and get a three-point shooter or something. They need more of that from him. And I think the more they share the ball, the better their offense is going to look. And I don't know that, you know, Steven, to me, last night looked like he got frustrated because he wasn't getting the ball sometimes. And that affected his effort late. But, you know, he needs to get the ball and move it and be a facilitator as well as score. And I think those two guys, you know, if they look to share the ball better, you know, that'll help. But you're right. This is a team that's living in two worlds. It was built for the world of Rick Pitino, largely by Rick Pitino, the guys that are key players on this team. And that's an up-tempo, pressure defense, let's go type deal. And Chris Mack has got a pack line mentality, has certain ways he wants to do things, and that's just some of the natural difficulty of meshing all that stuff.
It is Eric Crawford from WDRB.com. After the game, Eric, I know, you know, you're busy doing writing and stuff, so chances are you didn't hear it, but we do. We have Chris on our post-game show, and he went out of his way to talk at length. He may say, I don't know if he even says it, that he's not hearing what people say, but obviously he does. And one of the things he hears is, you know, play the kids, play the kids, play the kids. And I thought last night he tried to give them as much slack in the rope as he could. I mean, he had them out there, and the lead got down to 5. And then he was like, sorry, I just got to go back and bring the other guys in.
Yeah, I gotta win the game.
But you know, he's walking a fine line because they can't get better unless they play. But sometimes you can't win unless you play your veterans. And so he's caught between a rock and a hard place. And it's obvious, though, he's trying to get them some minutes. So for people who don't think he is, you're not paying attention, because he, at least right now, he certainly is. And I asked him, he didn't really answer, to be honest with you. I asked him, do you really need the freshmen to make significant contributions to get where you want this team to be at the end of the year? And he talked more about, well, you know, this is really as far as kind of like the upperclassmen are going to take us. It's the seniors' last go-round. They're the ones that really have to drive the bus. But, yeah, there's a game down the stretch. I'm sure we're going to need a guy late in the game to make a big shot or hit a free throw, or somebody's in foul trouble, or, if God forbid, you get an injury. So he's trying to bring those guys along. But you can't sacrifice a win just to get the minutes. And to be honest with you, they were – not great. I mean, the only guard that really played well last night was Darius, and the other three were not great. It was not a good game for Fresh. It was nice that Ryan made a couple of shots because his confidence was absolutely broken into a million pieces. But Darius, I thought he played well. If he can give them those kind of numbers night in and night out, he shot 4 for 7. He was in double figures. He made no turnovers. I think they can live with that line.
Yeah, and Darius is the one point guard on that team who can – push the ball too. He doesn't always make great decisions on the break, but he can move. He can get it out. You know, if you just hit him with an outlet pass, he can move it up the court and maybe do something with it. You're right. I thought there was that one sequence, and they might have been up 10. And, you know, David Johnson comes down and brings it down, and there's no offense run. He drives down the right side of the lane, puts up a shot and misses it. Wasn't a bad shot. It's a shot he can make, but it's not the shot to take at that time, especially after running no offense and doing nothing. And you know, you come back on the other end, and they score, come down. I think Williamson slips and falls, and there's a turnover, and it goes back the other way. And then there's another David turnover in that stretch, and then Williamson fouls a three-point shooter. And, you know, those two guys single-handedly, the lead's down to five, and you just can't, you know, what's a coach supposed to do? He was asked about that in the postgame, how hard is it to have that happen when you're trying to get on the court? He said, it's hard sitting in that chair when that happens because, you know, I want them out there, but I also don't want to be talking to you about a third straight loss. So, you know, what else can you do? So that's where they are. I think, though, that getting those guys able to contribute in some way, that could be the difference between, you know, a round in the NCAA tournament, because you're just going to need people making positive contributions in March, and they do need those two guys. I don't know if you make that a deep run with just the returning guys.
No, I agree. And David Johnson's got a skill set. He's got a physical skill set that the other three guards don't have. He's 6'4", and he's, you know, he literally can carry the ball to the rim in ways that the other guys can't. But he's still got a little Darius freshmanitis. Remember when every pass Darius threw was like through six guys, you know, to a little tiny window? He still wants to throw that pass a lot, and he's going to have to do away with that. And,
well, Darius still wants to throw that pass.
Not as much. Not as much. He didn't make a turnover last night. He's doing better at that. But you made a good point about Jordan, though, by the way, which doesn't get discussed enough, is he's a good passer when he's aware of being a passer. He's not a bad passer. And if he does that really opens things up for other people. Because, listen, they've got to get other guys to score. And he can't. And as much as I like Steven, the problem is if, you know, he's trying to get position, you can debate he's got to do better at that. But if he can't create a shot on his own, they've got to get the ball to him. And if they don't, sometimes they don't do as good a job as they need to. Well, then it's just Jordan and nobody else. At least if they got somebody else on the perimeter who can create. That's why I think Darius is so important, because he's the one guard who can get in the lane and create some things. And I think that's why they run him at two some. They feel like they can give him some more freedom to do that. But last night they needed him at the point. But I asked him after the game, he said, I don't approach it any differently. I'm playing to two, I'm playing to one. My mindset's the same. I'm going to attack, try and get in the lane and make something happen. So, I said to you, you're not really going to know who this team is till about January 15th, though. And I still stand by that. I still think they're trying to find out exactly what their identity is going to be.
Yeah, and it's strange for a team that essentially was the same last year to still be kind of working on that. And the thing is, there's a lot of good players out there, a lot of good role players. Somebody's got to be a playmaker, and that's just not just score, you know, out of their role in the offense, but try and do something to make the other guys around you be able to make a play. And there's less of that offensively going on. But maybe that's something they can develop. It's been tough. I asked Mac about it. I mean, they played twice in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's pretty unusual. I mean, and they were rolling, you know, at the time that break happened. You always hate to, you know, you hate to take 4 days off when you're playing well. And he took all these days off. So I do think there's some rust maybe involved too.
Talking to Eric Crawford from WDRB here on the V Show on ESPN 680-1057. You know, the other thing, and people – most of the anger, I hate to use that term, but I think it was, if you want to aim it at an individual guy, was aimed at Ryan, rightly or wrongly. They, you know, oh, he can't play him against athletic guards. Why do they play him? This, that. And I'll tell you why. Chris isn't stupid. He knows he's not tall. He knows he's not tremendously gifted athletically. But, Eric, they need his shooting. I mean, and, you know, none of the other three guards are going to be able to shoot it like that. Even when Ryan's in a slump, if you factor in all those shots he missed, he's still like a 40% three-point shooter. That's why they're playing him. And he had a big three late, and they're just going to have to work around some of his shortcomings because even if he's not shooting it, he stretches the defense so there's room for Enoch to get the ball. They don't play any of the other guards like they defend him.
That's the key, is that it's, you know, and I don't have the analytics. I can't go look. I did subscribe last year, like the Synergy, just the stats side of it.
Right.
Just to look. But it gives you, the effectiveness of lineups on the court. And when he's on the court, they're a more effective offensive team, even if he's missing shots. Because what are you going to not guard him? Nobody, there's nobody in the country is just going to leave him alone. You've got to get out there and stretch your defense, and that's what he does. So I still think he's going to play significant minutes and a big role this season. And if he gets hot, he can put a game on his, end it. I mean, I think that was that first Miami game where he might have made three straight threes, and it was like, all of a sudden you're up 20 when you were up, 10 or 11. I mean, he's just got that ability. And I think they're just going to have to figure out a way. And we talk about figuring out when they're their best. And what's one of the things that's happening is that Ryan is making a handful of three-point shots. And that makes them more dangerous. So now these teams that are isolating him defensively and driving, they've just got to figure out a way to deal with that. Whether it's help defense, whether it's, a little more zone. I don't know. Chris doesn't like zone. I think they could probably play zone, though, if they had to. I don't know what the answer is. But you got to win with the guys you got, and they know who they have and what their pieces are. And now it's just a matter of figuring out, is there a better way?
There's a term I use all the time, the anatomy of the game, which I don't know if people understand, but I'll explain it briefly so you do. It's that, not all games fit the same script. They not all follow the same pattern. You may want it to, but in other words, a shot that is a good shot for a guy is not always a good shot depending on the situation. And I don't think this team has a great sense of the anatomy of the game. I mean, they had the perimeter guys finally got it going in the first half, and they score like three buckets in a row, and then Malik decides to take a challenge 12-footer on the baseline. I'm thinking, why would you shoot that then? The anatomy of the game says that's not the time to take that one. It wasn't deep in the shot clock. Get it to the guys. Either get it, throw it, catch it, throw it, and then go repost and get inside where you can shoot a little jump hook around the basket, which is a much higher percentage shot, or go to one of the guys who have the hot hand. And they did that a lot of the night, and that's what concerns me. They started the second half, Eric, as you know, with about eight straight stops, and they didn't add to their lead at all.
No.
I mean, that's the time that thing you really should have broken it open. He talks about three stops in a row, gets a kill. They had like seven or eight in a row, and they went from up 11 to up like 12. I mean, they made up hardly any ground. That's the thing, and it's not easy to teach the, I don't know what you call it, the understanding the anatomy of the game, feel for the game, basketball IQ. I'm not sure they have a lot of guys who have that. I mean, I think Dwayne Sutton does, but sometimes I wonder. Sometimes when I see shot selection of other guys, I'm thinking, did you really think that was a good time to take that one?
Yeah, and it's not just one guy.
No.
It's not just two guys. Fresh Kimball took two challenge shots in a row last night at a time when they didn't need those shots from him. Wara will take shots that he doesn't really need to be taking that aren't at the end of the shot clock that he can get most of the time. So, and all the others too. I mean, the guards, they're all susceptible to it. So that's the problem. And, I don't know what the mentality is that's making those happen, but I think they need a little bit more disciplined approach offensively, especially when they find themselves up big, because that's when it tends to get a little bit, lax, and a guy might take a shot that he wouldn't otherwise take. The hard thing is that sometimes they take those shots and make them. And that happened a little bit beginning last night, although they took pretty good shots. But, when you make all these shots right in a row or pretty early, you're like, okay, let's keep going. And that's not always the thing to do.
Talking to Eric Crawford, WDRB, a couple of other things that I think are worthy of attention as well. And that is, I don't know, sometimes you really do have to look at the numbers, Eric. I mean, I get the feeling in the second half like that Miami was starting to hit shot after shot, and I looked at the stats, they were like 2 of 16 behind the three-point line.
Yeah.
I mean, the defense was pretty much for the whole night really, really good again.
Yeah, it was a weird-feeling game.
Wasn't it?
For a team that was 12 points in the paint. I mean, how are you going to, I wrote, and as a disclaimer, the stories we write are pretty much written right at the buzzer, and then we fill in some quotes, and that's what we do until maybe we come back the next day with something else. But I'm like you. I kind of said, well, they struggled defensively. They couldn't stop these guys off the dribble. Well, they did. I mean, they gave up 12 points in the paint. It's not like they got burned. And so, it was just a weird feeling game. But they have, had that that problem sometimes. If they get the really good ball handlers, guys who are quicker, more athletic, whatever, it's tougher to stop. But that's, you know, there's always somebody quicker. You've got to find ways around your physical limitations. And, you know, that on the, if you look at it on paper, that was a good defensive effort last night. So, what, you know, I'm not sure how else to quantify it, except that it wasn't maybe an even consistent defensive effort.
I didn't see any of it, to be honest with you, and maybe you didn't either because you were working, but yeah. UK wins at Georgia. How significant a win is that?
It was a good win because Georgia was amped up and came out playing pretty well. And, again, Kentucky just got some – Tyrese Maxey was one of those games where he was just brilliant, you know, getting the ball and dribbling into the lane, hitting the little floaters, hitting the runners, sometimes pulling up and shooting, sometimes getting to the rim. He was really good. I think Calipari with his three-guard lineup may be onto something. Mm-hmm. I think that makes them dangerous. And I think he's found that lineup with Quickley and Higgins and Maxey and Cestina and Richards. I think that's their best five. And I think we'll see them move forward quite a bit with those guys. They win a lot of games with that bunch.
Yeah, I think that's a good lineup, too. We'll see where it goes. Eric, good seeing you last night. Thanks so much. We'll talk soon. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Eric Crawford with us here on the V Show on ESPN 680-1057. The playoffs are finally here. There's only a few more games left. Don't be caught saying wait till next year like 24 other teams. Get in on the action this weekend with the DraftKings Sportsbook app. With so much going on, they have great promotions every day. From odds boosts to free bets, DraftKings has it all. Plus, DraftKings Sportsbook is a safe and secure betting app. You can deposit and withdraw the funds at your convenience anytime. It's no wonder that the DraftKings Sportsbook is America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to top it all off, we got a great deal for you right now. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code WHBE. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out with a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. Don't forget, that's code WHBE and get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Indiana only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus is a 25 times playthrough. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com Sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-WITH-IT. We'll be back and do some globy stuff and some more. We want to know Wednesday. We want to know Wednesday here on ESPN 680-1057.
You're listening to the V Show podcast. Listen to Bob Valvano weekdays noon to 3 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
Hey, man, who's that cat coming down the street?
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that whipping man with the bone.
Sure having himself a ball.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Now that's a promotion. Get five or six of the radio hosts here to do that circle with a ball. That would be hilarious. Throwing around, trying to do the tricks. They spin it, throw it around their arms, and that would be damned entertaining. Who would we put in there? See. Marcus played, so that's no good. He probably can.
Yeah,
no,
you can't put stuff. Marcus in there.
But like,
can't have Luke in there.
No. But like Sweeney.
Yeah, Sweeney and Locke.
Sweeney, Diener. Locke,
Ennis.
Let me see. We need to. You can jump in there, Jack. I think people will be excited to see you.
Yeah, I'd be happy to embarrass myself. Some
great. Just and visually, just ball sitting guys in the head and stuff. They're probably listening. I could catch and spin the ball, you jackwad. But I'm not quite sure it would look the same as the Globies. What's really cool, people are showing my age again, but oh well. Pre-game warm-ups used to be so much cooler than they are now. They really were, because Niagara had a guy named Calvin Murphy who used to come out, and they would do the drill where they would throw it to him at the foul line, and there would be like three lines at the top, and guys would go cutting off him each direction, and while he had it, he would be doing all the Globetrotter stuff between his legs and spinning it, doing it around his arms, then he'd throw it back, you know, blindly over his shoulder to a guy, catch it, he'd make a layup, and the next guy'd throw it, and he'd go through all the histrionics. The crowd would be going wild over layups. That was pretty cool. They don't do that anymore. My dad, God bless him, he's way ahead of his time. He would take when everybody wore the old canvas basketball shoes, he would bring them home. Oh, how stunk for about 3 days. He would dye them all in the upstairs bathtub green, because those were our school colors, green and white. And then he would take two basketballs and paint one, alternating panels, green and white, and polka dots. He painted the ball all white with green polka dots. That's the way to do it. Hey, how are you? Our guests are here. See if we can get them settled. Where? Which mic works? Half the mics in this place don't work. Would you do that one, please? I saw you last night at the game. We've got Hoops Green has just joined us from the Harlem Globetrotters, joined by Meadowlark Lemon. Is that you? No, that's not you. I didn't think it was. I just took a wild stab. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thanks for coming in. I know a little bit about your background. You played at Lex Catholic. Is that right?
That's correct.
And then went to UTEP.
Yep.
And now you've been with the Globies this year. How many years? First year?
Fourth.
Fourth year?
Yeah.
Wow. So obviously you're enjoying it, unless you're a masochist.
Well.
You having a good time?
I am.
Well, good. You know, tell me a little bit about the experience of playing for the Globies. I mean, obviously, it's one of the legendary names in all of sport. When the NBA was founded, you probably know the history of it. The NBA teams would book the Globies because they would get more people to watch that than they would the NBA game.
Yeah.
So they would book it as a doubleheader. And, you know, and yet what you do now is you're in the crowd. I see the videos. You're taking pictures and selfies and making kids smile and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. How important is that all to you?
It's really important. I think that's what makes the Globetrotters game so fun, is how interactive we are. You know, you don't have to necessarily like basketball or even understand basketball, but you'll still have a good time. We like to get the fans involved and engaging. So it's a lot of fun. Adding basketball and entertainment is what makes the tradition going, I think.
You were great with the kids last night. She came out on the court and had one kid try and take the ball from her, then two, then three, and then finally after four, after you'd been dribbling for like 5 minutes,
yeah,
like you need a little break. You let one of the kids take it. Like, yeah. I get a little, yay, good for you. But do you do the dribbling routine? Are you the one? Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do like Curly Neal.
Curly Neal's thing?
More hair.
That's true. You appreciate more hair than Curly did. That's got to be fun.
It is a lot of fun. You know, those are huge shoes to fill. I mean, big shoes to fill. He was amazing, but you know, I'm just trying to do my thing on the court and represent the ladies as well.
How much did you know about them before you started with them Globetrotters?
Not too much. I mean, I saw them when I was about 9 years old, 8 years old, but I didn't know like I was gonna
ever play for them.
Yeah. But I mean, I didn't really know much until I found out that I was gonna be on the team.
Who are these people with you?
This is my squad. It's my A squad team.
Are they your people or the Globies people? Who owns these people?
They own themselves. Yum Center.
Oh, yeah, you're Yum Center people.
Yeah.
No, I was 0 for 2. I guess
Entourage.
Globies are you and you're Yummies. People who are the Yum Center should be called the Yummies. So.
Yummies.
So what is the, let's get the business out of the way first. Two games?
Yes.
What day?
January 18th. It's a Saturday, 2 games, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m.
2 and 7. So a diet matinee and then an evening performance.
That's right.
Well, good for you. Everybody must ask you this, but I'll ask it. I mean, it is basketball, but it's a show. It's more to be, and there's no apologies for that. You're entertained, like you said. You don't have to know basketball. But as somebody who played professionally for a while, is it an adjustment to go out and be more of an entertainer than it is a competitor?
Yeah, I'd say that was probably the biggest challenge for me coming from playing professionally in Europe and Mexico. Just being able to flip that switch from going, you know, basketball competitive, blocking defense, you're trying to win, no smiles, none of that stuff. But then with the Globetrotters, you're going,
you better smile.
You're smiling, you're entertaining, you're having fun, and then you're also playing basketball. So it was a challenge.
You know, this is sad to say, you can get mad at me if you wish, but I never saw them in person. But I think I know all their routines because I saw them when I was a kid. They were on TV all the time.
Yeah.
Do they still do some of the ball on the string and the confetti in the bucket? And
the confetti in the bucket is probably the most
famous
one. And everybody enjoys it. Everybody likes that one, but it's like after all these years, people still fall for it.
Do they really? They still cringe?
Yeah. Like, why are we? Don't you know it by now? Guess not.
Well, that'll be a lot of fun. It's when you started with them, is it like dancing? Do you have to rehearse a dribble choreograph? Do you have to work on that? Like,
yeah.
You can't just go out there and say, I think I'm going to dribble around like a crazy person. So how did you do that?
I wasn't practicing this stuff, dribbling on the ground and sliding on the floor when I was, you know, preparing to go like professionally. But now it's like anything. You have to practice. You have to work at it, try to perfect it. And
do you have somebody else who does it? Like, will you alternate it sometimes? Like, if you've, I've done like five nights in a row, I need a little breather. Will you let somebody else do it, or how's that work?
No.
You do it every night?
You just have to do it.
It's like Broadway, man. Your 2 o'clock show, 7 o'clock show, just
it's tough.
Lace them up and go.
And there's only usually one girl per unit, one woman on each team. So
I've read this. You're the 15th. There's only been 15 in the history of the team.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, good for you. Is there more than one traveling group?
Yes.
Is there one in Europe?
Yeah, we have red, white, and blue. So one team goes to Europe, one is East Coast, and one is West Coast.
Oh, okay. And you're the East Coast team, I assume?
Yeah.
All right. So East Coast, West Coast, and in Europe. Have you, if you wanted to, could you like say, I want to go to the European team one time just to go tour Europe? Well, you lived there. You've already played this. That's no big deal for you, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Where did you play over there? What country?
I played in Spain and the Czech Republic.
Oh, okay. So, but I mean, do they mix the people sometimes, or you're pretty well locked into East Coast?
No, they will. Sometimes they'll mix. They'll mix them, like maybe you just want to, I don't know, try something new.
Well, if I've never been to Europe, I'd want to go to Europe for a little bit and take a tour and go around Europe. No disrespect to the fabulous Yum Center and to you know, our guests here. I want to make sure we throw them a bone. But I'm really a little tiny bit disappointed, though. I thought somebody from the Globies might be here, because one of the things I've learned doing radio for 20 years, if you ask somebody something on the air, it's very hard for them to say no, because you're on the air and you'll embarrass them. And I really want a red, white, and blue Globetrotters ball. But I've got to figure out how I can get one of those. And I was hoping you brought one, because many, many decades ago I played. I could still spin a ball. We could have a really cool picture if we had two basketballs. We don't have any basketballs, though.
We have a basketball.
You do bring one?
Yeah.
Oh, you brought one? Do we have one in the back somewhere? I think we have one, right? Don't we have one? It's an autograph ball. Well, I don't know if that'll work. Maybe it's too slick, but we're going to try it. We're going to try it. You got the red, white, and blue Globie ball here?
Yeah.
How much you want for it?
You got one.
I got my wallet. I can definitely work that out.
They'll be there at the game.
Oh, I love those. You got to remember, I'm old enough to remember way before you were born. The ABA used to play here in Louisville, and they had their red, white, blue ball, and I love that ball. Does it feel the same as a regular ball when you started playing with it? They used to say the ABA ball felt a little slicker. Is it a little slicker or no? Not really?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's an excuse.
You can't have excuses. You got to be dribbling and taking care of the ball.
Handle it.
All right. Well, you still got family? You're from Lexington, right?
Mm-hmm.
You still got family there?
Yeah, my dad lives here. Well, in Lexington, and then my brother, he's more in like the Cincinnati area.
Are they coming to see you?
They better.
Oh, well, I was asking you. Don't yell at me. If I were your father, I'd come see you. That's for sure.
Yeah, the first time I played at Rupp, like most of my family lives in Florida now, but everybody flew in.
Did they really?
To see me play at Rupp Arena.
Now, your given name, I like to tell people it's Brianna, or not? I'm not allowed to say that. That's your given name, right?
Yeah, I was born with that name.
The Hoops, that's your show name. You're in show biz now. Yeah. There's no business like, no, anyway. But, so what do your friends call you? Are you Bree?
Bree?
Bree. All right, I like that. Oh, there we go. Let me see if I can spin this. It's not even inflated.
Throwback. Whose autograph is that?
I don't know. If it rubs off, it rubs off. Who cares? All right, we're going to try and spin it. I'm going to take a break, and we're going to have her spin a ball, and I'm going to spin a ball. And
you don't want to do it on air?
It's radio.
So?
Someone going to do a visual on radio? Here's good entertainment. You guys sit there, and I'll have a great time with Hoops here, and you can't see anything.
Well, if a
Thanks.
Ball like falls off and hits a mic, something, that's good content.
We'll video it, and we'll put it up. You can embarrass me on Twitter if you want to. So, Brianna Hoopscreen, the Globies, two shows, January 18th, the Yum Center. Where are you going from here, by the way? Where's your next stop?
I'm going to Lexington.
There's a show in Lexington, too?
Yeah.
When is that?
January
7th. Am I allowed to tell that, or the people may go to Lexington, the young 17th. People like, don't tell anybody that!
It's the 17th.
All right. So, and then where are you going from there? You're like me. Play them one at a time, right?
One
you don't
day
even
at
know.
A time.
Wait till they give you the plane ticket.
I go to Indianapolis.
Oh, okay. So you kind of do a little
I'm in the Indiana, Kentucky.
Do you travel on your own, or do you go collectively? Like, do you go as a team, or can you fly to Indy on your own, drive
well,
to Indy?
I go on my own because I'm ahead of the team. Like, I do the advance work. But they're all together.
Oh, you got to go in ahead and tell people, come and see me dribble around and be funny and have a good time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to spin here with Hoops. So we're going to do that, and I'm going to take a commercial. Sean, somebody get a picture of this. I've never spun with a Globetrotter before. So this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Don't forget, go see him at the Yum Center. All right, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. Hey, hit the buttons. You got to do it. I can't do it. We'll come back. ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the V Show Podcast.
Listen to Bob Valvano weekdays noon to 3 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com. More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So we've got one Fan Outfitters Twitter poll working right now, which is who was responsible for the stream going down earlier. Was it Process, Queen, a prominent booster, or Hot Chocolate? I think that's a good poll. We got a new one coming up now. Is the Globetrotters theme the most iconic sports-related theme out there? The four that we chose to make finalists are the Globetrotters theme, the theme from Rocky, the theme from Chariots of Fire, and the Notre Dame fight song. And the reason we picked Chariots of Fire and Rocky, here's what we want to know Wednesday. Did you know? This is courtesy of Nathan Huber.
Which one is Chariots of Fire again?
Just play. It's an instrumental. I can't sing it to you. The only two sports-related, sports-themed movies to win Best Picture are Rocky and Chariots of Fire. How about that, Mikey? There you go. That's from Nathan Huber. So we're going to put that. The debate we had, should Notre Dame be the fourth choice on that list? Here's Chariots of Fire.
Now that I'm hearing it, I've definitely heard it. Yeah.
Yes, of course. So which songs that are most associated with a, you know, a brand or a team, that's probably the best way to put it, because you hear the Rocky theme, immediately think Rocky. You hear the Sweet Georgia Brown, you immediately think Globetrotters.
I'd argue Michigan's fight song over Notre Dame's fight song.
So Michigan more than Notre Dame?
Yeah, when you hear, like, Hail to the Victors, that to me comes through a lot more than the Notre Dame fight song. Like, I can... like, hear the Notre Dame fight song in my head, but the Michigan
maybe because you've never played at Notre Dame.
I've been to a game in Notre Dame. I went to the Louisville-Notre Dame football game.
Oh, my God. We played basketball there. They must have, I mean, when I was coaching, we coached a game there. They must have played that fight song.
Oh, God. They
played 50 times.
The most annoying thing was at the bowl game last week.
How many times they played
it there? My God. They played, I counted before the game, they played it 13 times before kickoff.
Before the game.
Rocky Top. It's ridiculous.
So. Oh, yeah, Rocky Top. There's another one. But that way, maybe we should eliminate all of this college themes. But then I can't find a fourth song.
Why does there need to be a fourth one? Why not do a top three?
My good polls always have four. The crappy ones have three. The good ones either have two or four. It's an either or, yes or no, black or white, up or down, left or right, or it's a four choice. It's like a four top. A three is kind of like that annoying guy in college who can't get a date and he has to come out with you and your girlfriend.
I don't know. Anytime I took a multiple choice test and I'd come across a question that only had three responses, I got really happy.
Well, like, of course you did.
I got a better chance at guessing the right one.
Robert Klein, the comedian, used to say, he used to love multiple choice. You love true-false tests because you had a 50% chance even if you knew nothing. He said, or a 75% chance if you had a long neck and good eyes. But hey, how you doing? So we need a fourth one. What would be the fourth we could put on there? Because I will have that poll up at the top of this hour. By the way, thank you to Brianna Hoops Green from Lexington, who now plays with the Globetrotters. A texter said, you might not know this. Actually, it's one of those things I did know and slipped my mind. I should have mentioned it. But Alex Sanders from the University of Louisville played with the Globetrotters for a while. I did know that. I remember hearing that back right after he was here at Louisville. Here's a We Want to Know Wednesday that's a little odd, certainly out of the box a bit, does not involve wild animals' reproductive organs, so I'm grateful for that. Did you know that the last vacant space on Whiskey Row, which is 121 Main Street, is set to be two bars and restaurants? While doing the renovation, it was found that it was formerly an adult nightclub called Latex. I swear this is true. It was on the news last night. We Want to Know Wednesday. You know, We Are the Champions is a great song, but what are you identifying with? The idea is that it's a song with Queen. It's got to be something that's identified with a product. Like the Globetrotters, that's why I still think the Notre Dame fight song should go on there. You hear that song?
I'd argue, how about this one? The CBS Sports college basketball song. It doesn't matter what time
does
of the year
it
I hear.
Does it have a name?
Does it have to?
Well, how am I going to put it on the...
You just put the CBS...
It won't fit.
The CBS basketball theme song.
I bet you it won't fit. It's too many letters.
You can just put the basketball emoji instead of the word basketball.
Wow, listen, you Gen X guys. CBS, college...
You do CBS, CBB theme song.
Basketball theme song, but I want to see what it has a name. Because I would argue that may not even be the most famous. The most famous might be the NBA song that John Tesh wrote. Remember that?
Yeah, that's a good one also. Ground Ball Rock.
Yeah, so why is the CBS NCAA theme so catchy? It was written in 1993. John Williams of TV Sports wrote CBS's iconic theme. Does it have a name? Has graced countless shows. Its synth-based hook is neither jarring nor boring. All right, you've convinced me. I'm going to make that the fourth choice. And not only that, somebody said that same thing. CBS college basketball theme as well. He also, by the way, Williams himself composed NBA's Sunday Night Football theme and several versions of the Olympic theme. His CBS baseball intro, perhaps the only good result from one of the worst TV rights contracts ever signed. I'd like to hear that. Could you find that? John Williams, here it is. Let's see if I can play it off my little phone here. This is the CBS baseball theme.
Oh, and I got it on the computer, Bob.
Ooh, that's pretty good. You found it already? You can't find it that fast. You did. It's not bad.
That's pretty good.
It is good. All right, I like that. Very few sports themes have ever achieved the same kind of ubiquity and longevity. Ubiquity. You know what ubiquity means? Do you know what that means?
No chance.
Ubiquity means... it's a capital investment company in Canada. That's not what we'll... It's amazing how many... They did a hell of a job of... on the internet, because they've got, if you type in ubiquity, it comes up the first 50 responses. Ubiquity is the fact of appearing everywhere, of being very common. So this theme is, very few sports themes have ever achieved the same kind of ubiquity and longevity. Part of that is to do with CBS has owned the tournament rights since 1982, or 11 years before Christensen wrote the first version of the current theme. But there's more to it than that. All right, so that's going to be our fourth choice. The CBS college basketball theme. If I use an emoji for that, I think that would work. All right, we'll try that. So we'll see which one. Now, which one do you think is going to win? Which do you think is winning the who's responsible for the stream going down? Which one do you think is winning that? Process, Green, the Prominent Booster, or Hot Chop?
It's got to be the Prominent Booster.
The Prominent Booster's kicking ass. He's got like 60% of the vote. Who will win this one? Rocky, the Globetrotters, at Chariots of Fire, or the CBS college basketball? I think it's going to come down between the Globetrotters and the CBS theme. I would vote
That's
for the
Globetrotters.
That's a tough one. You hear that song, there's nothing else that pops into your mind with the Globetrotters. Nothing. Nothing.
Well,
I mean, like, you hear the Rocky theme, you may think Sylvester Stallone or boxing or Chariots of Fire. I don't know. You think that slow motion scene from that theme comes on, you're thinking Globies. That's the only thing popping
into
your head.
IU's basketball band plays it every single game.
What?
The Globetrotter song.
Does somebody whistle? Do they have a guy whistle?
No. They don't have a guy whistling, but...
That makes the whole song.
Yeah.
Well, then they're screwing it up. Tell them that. Tell them they're screwing that song up. Hey, it's 2 o'clock. Means we got to pay bills. So let's pay bills, and I will get that. Oh, by the way, did anybody video us spinning the ball? We spun the ball. Nobody took a video of that? Oh, just they did? Oh, crap. Well, now we got to ask the guy to send it to us. The guy from the Center took a video. Bree and I went out in the lobby and spun the ball on our finger. I give her credit because I tried to shame her in the air to giving me the Globetrotter ball, and she did not. So I was done spinning it. She stuck it right back in her bag and took off. Now, I was A little disappointed about that, to be honest with you. In fact, more than a little disappointed. It's a great ball. It's got a great feel to it. She was nice enough to let me try and spin it because the only other ball we had to try and spin is an autograph ball, which has that real shiny couple of panels for you to sign. I couldn't even get a grip on it. And you'd say, well, how could she? She's got even smaller hands. She spins it clockwise. She throws the ball up in the air and spins it clockwise. I spin it counterclockwise. So I just have to turn it and like a pitcher throwing a curveball and twist my wrist. My hand keeps slipping off it. If you put two hands on it, it still was harder for her. She didn't have as easy a time of it, but she managed to gut it out. Courageous player that she is. I did tell her, however, she started dribbling in the lobby. I was not chasing her. So I don't know what she thought. She's going to start sliding around the entranceway. You weren't going to get me running after her. I had to draw the line somewhere. But so somewhere we have a picture of the two of us spinning basketballs. I'll see if we can post that, and I will definitely post this next poll on our on Twitter, our Fan Outfitters Twitter poll. That'll be two today. How about that? We're just busting them out here on the V-Show. We'll be back, ESPN 680, 105.7.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.